On today's episode of The Good Word, Jason Goff joins us to discuss Klay Thompson's return to Golden State and all the theater of the evening, what's causing a rash of injuries around the league and how to fix it, and Bronny James getting special treatment in the G League, along with Steve Nash getting special treatment in Chicago. That and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports and the host of this show. Today, we are joined by one of my great friends, a belated birthday boy, a father-to-be for the second time, my man, the one and only Jason Goff. He is, of course, the host of The Full Go on the Ringer Network, and he is the Bulls pre- and post-game host for the newly formed Chicago Sports Network. What's going on, bro?
I'm good, man. Thank you for that. I appreciate you. Always good to talk to you. Always good to see John. You know, shout out to John Gennaro. But yeah, man, everything is decent right now. Like you mentioned, got the album getting ready to drop in February. Can't wait to meet her. And yeah, things are decent. Things are decent in life, sports wise, here in the city of Chicago. Things are as you left them, pretty much. Nah, you actually left when things were decent. You actually left when the Bulls were. Did you?
No,
what was
no,
your last
no.
year? Were they okay?
No.
Oh, you were the reason for the end with the Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Yeah, well,
I'm gonna say there were people who ran him out of town. I wasn't one of them. There were people who ran Jimmy out of town who said Jimmy's not gonna be the best player on the team that made the finals. Then he made finals twice with the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Now, does his bubble finals? Like, I love how people talk about the bubbles. Like, oh, that finals don't count because it was LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does his bubbles final appearance, does it have the same weight as or discarded the same way that, you know, LeBron's championship and AD's championship in the bubble was discarded? Or does it carry weight because he didn't win it and people like Jimmy more on a commercial level sometimes than they do LeBron?
Here's what I think on that. I don't discount the bubble championship, but the factors that led to the bubble championship are not, you can't duplicate them, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Anthony Davis, you can't keep him upright and healthy for 3 months at a time. LeBron James, at whatever age he was at that time, had 3 months off. One thing I can say about Jimmy is that he carried a team to the finals since.
True.
The Lakers haven't sniffed the NBA Finals. Jimmy's gotten to a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Very true. Very true.
And taken the team to the finals since the bubble. LeBron and the Lakers have gotten swept in the Western Conference Finals. And we swore up and down that next year is going to be the year for the Lakers. Look at how close they played the Denver Nuggets. They gave them their toughest series and da 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 da. And what they do, the LeBron Invitational play-in tournament.
They
might
hung
be
a banner
right back there this year with
they
JJ.
Hung a banner. They hung a banner for it. Don't
no, that's
get
the
in twisted.
Season tournament. That's the NBA Cup. That's the NBA Cup.
The play-in.
That's like the Bulls Invitational. The Bulls and Hawks Invitational on the Eastern Conference. It is the Warriors and Lakers Invitational in the Western Conference, right?
Yeah. And you know why? Because we got a whole bunch of young cats who the league is trying to look at to figure out, hey, which one of you guys is going to step up? And these old dogs are still – thank God for the Suns, right? Thank God for the Suns and their new coaching situation. The Suns are playing together now. The league is sitting there looking at KD, Steph, and LeBron like, hey, now, I know y'all old. and I know y'all been doing this too damn long, but can you squeeze two, maybe three more like semifinals trips out? This way we can introduce people to stars like Anthony Edwards and Zion Williamson and Ja Morant. It's a weird spot that the league is in right now because as Bo says all the time, they've got the old cats who don't know when to lead a club.
Nope.
Yeah. But the problem is they still popping. Like the bottle's still coming to the sections, the chicks still digging it, the promoters still dapping them up when they walk in. It's not like the old days where we used to see the old cats pretty much outside the club. Like when I saw Larry Bird in that Charlotte series laying on his stomach the whole series when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, he about to go. Okay.
Yeah, it's over.
Like, oh yeah, he's had his 10 years. Like, we look at these cats now, mm-hmm. and they're like, ooh, it's year 16. Why is this dude so injury prone? Because they ain't supposed to play this long no more.
They not supposed to play this. Like that's the downside to, and we're going to talk, it's funny, Jason, because you hit on, like, tempos. We can talk about injuries, and we're going to talk about one dude who's still at the club, but still, like, whenever the DJ see him, they like, oh, there's Steph Curry. This party popping. Well, because Steph Curry last night, Jay.
Yeah, come on.
I am in San Francisco. I am here for the Klay Thompson return game where, you know, it was such a classy affair. Let me just say that. Because it's taken for granted that teams will give a returning player a classy return. I think classy is a little bit overrated as a thing. Like, it's almost like a backhanded compliment. Like, being a good loser. Oh, he took that in stride. He classy. I'm a child of the Bad Boys. I don't care about losing with class. All right? But the Golden State Warriors welcomed Klay Thompson back when he came. When he walked through the door, Jason, 400 Warriors employees, Chase Center employees, like, greeted him, right? Like, on the walk. Just all the standing ovations, the applause, all of that. He had a 2-minute video that was really well done, all this stuff. And then you remember Jason, the crazy thing is, Jason looks like a pastor right now. Like,
I'm
the guest. This is what Jason looks like. For y'all on YouTube who don't see it, Jason looks like the guest pastor at the church who's being introduced. And he's got his head down, like he's deep in thought, like he about to unleash some fire and brimstone on your ass.
I'm just letting you do your thing. Yeah, I want to hear the. I felt the way that I didn't know I would feel last night about this entire thing.
Okay, go ahead. What's that?
So, I'm watching 76ers Knicks. You know, we getting ready to eat. My lady made a lovely roast. Huh? You know, my
she's still cooking and she pregnant, man. What are you doing?
So let me run my house the way I run my house. Okay. that's what I'll say. Okay. And no, my lady ain't cooking every night. You know what I mean? Like, we had a good day at the doctor and she just came home and threw a roast on. I love her to death. Anytime she does that, I appreciate it. But it's not like I got my lady in the kitchen. Like, she's you know, she's a doctor. She out here,
there's a clock on the stove. You don't need to watch.
She taking care of so many people's lives and she taking care of us, and we're so appreciative of it. But that's not the point. My lady made a lovely roast last night. You know, Jay starts to eat it. We starting to eat. We sitting at the table, and all of a sudden I see, oh yeah, 76ers Knicks. Let's get into this. Let's see what's happening. I know the Knicks play the Bulls on Wednesday night, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, let me see. Jalen Brunson has a tough game, but the Knicks get the win, and there's a lot of dunks by OG Anunoby where I'm like, hey man, at some point somebody's going to have to cut that baseline off or act like he's a driver at some point. But
like they got a 7-footer over there, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly, right? But I'm like, oh, guess what? It's Klay night, right? And my son and Pia were like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Like, this is a big deal. I'm like, no, he was there for so long, won championships. This is his first game back. So I like the theater of it. There's a mm-hmm. reason yeah. why you're there, yep. right? Mm-hmm. You're there to cover the event mm-hmm. that is going to inspire the most interaction, engagement, and also the theater of it, right? Mm-hmm. You want to document these moments as a journalist. So I'm going through the Instagram, and I'm like, oh, here goes the cut that you just mentioned of him walking through the tunnel, and people are clapping, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I see... immediately, because I switched over stupidly. I switched over to like news coverage that I haven't been watching. I'm like, oh, hey, get back out of here, Jay. Come on. Yeah, this is just reflexively like, I'm not supposed to be watching the news right now. Come on. I want to be happy. So I switch back and all I see is the camera shot of Klay on the bench. I'm like, oh, perfect timing, Jay. I didn't miss Luka's introduction, Kyrie's introduction. Oh, we right here. It's kind of like on Super Bowl Sunday where I purposefully try not to get any of the pregame content in and switch exactly when the ball is being kicked, because I already know who I think is going to win. Man, when I tell you, I'm sitting there watching the picture-in-picture of Klay and the video montage, I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to do it this way.
And then the video was going on. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then it kept going on. I'm like, oh. And then the introduction happened. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a kid of the 80s. Like, I remember when a cat came back to the town. Hey, we love you is going to come through these booths. We love you is going to come through, you know, back in the old Spectrum days in Philadelphia. The my favorite part used to be when they announced the visitors and it'd be like the greatest player. It'd be like Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the respect. That is the we love you. We respect you, but we going to throw you this shade just to show you. It's kind of like the relationships that, unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, brothers have where it's like, I see your little shoes over there, or like, I see a little car. Oh, you think you're getting fly? Like, that shade that is really respect, but we don't know how to really.
You don't know how to say it.
Dog, when Klay Thompson, he gets a second introduction. They say his name was set, like, as if the ovation wasn't long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, am I getting old or is this shit weird? Like, I know it's 11 years. I know it's 4 championships, but the love is, oh yeah, you on the other side tonight. We about to boo the shit out of you because you know we love you. And I know the circumstances are different. It's not like he left. He wanted to be there and he had to leave because of a business decision. And you can kind of tell that when they came back to the studio, that Kenny and Charles, and Kenny even said, he's like, I've never seen anything like that in my life. But they want to be on the pro, everything is good basketball side of things. Me, I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. Like, what happened to the gamesmanship? Like, and then Steph comes out guarding him the first three possessions. You know, he strips him. He forces a couple of turnovers.
He fouls him. He gets a foul.
Yeah. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to be.
The competition. The competition.
Yes.
The heavy.
You know you're loved. You know you're loved.
The heavy. There's so many thoughts I had.
It was weird to me. It's not like it was bad or good. It was just like, wait a minute. I know. I know I'm old. Vinny.
No, it's not that. I think you pointed to it. A was the circumstances, right? The circumstances that everybody knew Klay wanted to stay. Everybody Klay knew it. He never wanted it to end.
Right.
I don't think this would have been the same if Draymond Green were the first to go. Right?
Mm,
and that's not a shot to Draymond Green or anything else, but it's probably a little bit different because it's Klay. Like, I thought about this the other day, Jason, and I'm not dovetailing the pivoting because I want to stay here. I want to stay in this moment because that's what I'm here for. But there are legacy players who don't have a home.
Mm.
Chris Paul, who retires his jersey? Paul George, who retires his jersey? Guys who we know are Hall of Fame players but don't have a home. Klay Thompson is not at that level of individual player, but he means so much to that particular franchise.
Right on.
Not like, oh, more important than Steph Curry, more important than Draymond Green. I don't mean it in that way, but there is a connection there that is like really like tangible, right? And Steph was supposed to address the crowd, Jason.
Right.
And he and Klay talked the night before, and basically it was like, no, you don't have to do that because both want to stay in the frame of competition. And I never got to see Isaiah and Joe go at each other, right? I never got to see that. You never got to see like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili on a lesser level. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. But you usually don't see guys who are so synonymous with each other at kind of the same spot have to go against each other. And I thought that was in a way kind of cool because you got to see both sides' competitiveness come out. Like Steph pointed at Klay after he hit a three. Klay did this real, what do you call that, stiff shimmy as somebody who can't dance. I can appreciate somebody not being able to dance, but you're not going to catch my black ass on TV trying to dance and doing somebody else's shimmy. Are you out of your damn mind? You know what I mean, Jace? But it came back to the competition, like all the love and stuff that was
practice
there
to each other.
Yeah.
That's we got a chance to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing was that people were thinking, oh, maybe it's something more. Maybe they really had some words or they had some issues, you know, in this last year. I don't think it was that. I think maybe they could have had some terse conversations.
Of course, because 10 years around somebody, you're going to get into it with your brothers.
But I think competition is so pure. I love the purity of it, Jason. It just felt like people like, oh, did they fight the playoffs or the finals? Nah, it just felt like real. It's almost like
Hooping. Jason,
it felt like Meek going against Mike back in the day.
Yeah. You here, I'm here. We gonna
Let's get it.
Hey, I may not be strapped with the team that you are, but I promise you gonna get this work, right? Like you know what it is. You hoop. Like I hoop with my friends. Hey, I hoop
harder against my people than I do against strangers.
Shout out to my man Eron. I love that's my man 50 Grand, right? He's a way better basketball player than I could ever be. I remember when I was in Atlanta and I first met him in a group chat setting. I was like, oh, this the
group chats don't be working for you, Jason Goff.
They don't. But at least Eron ain't snake me. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? At least Eron kept it real with me and has always kept it real with me, right? I told you I was gonna get it in. So I know that if me and him go hoop, yeah, we gonna play on the same team. But boy, if it happens that we on opposing teams, oh, you know who I'm sticking. Like, you know, yeah, I love you, but we about to see, you know, what's really to it, and it's gonna be all good afterwards. Like for this thought to be like, oh, they may not like each other. Hey, man, like we are not thinking, well, a lot of people aren't thinking on the plane of ego that has got these players to this point.
Yes.
Right? Like we see systems with coaches and we're like, man, he can't coach anything else. Well, hell, his system got him to this point. He ain't about to switch it up in this moment.
Right.
That ego and all that bravado and these skills and physical impact, that's what got me here. So damn right, if I come here in other colors, I'm about to show you exactly not only what you're missing out on, but what you saw every single day in practice. The thing that you loved that was on your side, you're about to get it. And then afterwards, we gonna kick it at the same spot. You know, you can come to my crib if I still got my crib out here. Like, it's supposed to be like that. Like, I hate it when these 80s and 90s cats talk about, man, people feared Mike. Okay, cool. But then they'll turn around and say, man, we don't do all this stuff where, you know, you going on vacations. Man, stop lying to me. How many stories got to come out with Mike playing cards at people's houses until 4 a.m, the opposing players, right? And then going out there and busting their ass, right? This has been since the dawn of time. Competitors Yes. link up and have respect for each other. And sometimes they're on the same team, but when they're not, It's time to get to it.
It's we in it for the theater. Like, I think we lose sight. And Brian Windhorst, I think, was on Thanasis Antetokounmpo's podcast last week. And he talked about, like, the difference in, I guess, the way the NBA is covered. And he said, you know, it's very transactional. And we don't talk about, like, we're in this for the theater and the competition. And what I saw last night was a Klay Thompson who very much still has hurt feelings about being rejected. Like, this is not Kevin Durant defecting and then coming back or whatever. This is Klay Thompson feeling like, y'all rejected me.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut. Everybody done been rejected before.
Yeah.
Everybody done been rejected before. And you know what happened when you see that old thing? Go love Dr. For you. You want that old thing to see you shining. That you want that old thing to see ice dripping like butter. Butter, I tell you. I'm telling you. Jason, am I wrong?
No, you're not. This last, half a decade of my life is proof positive of that. You feel me?
Exactly. Exactly. The next thing better be better than the last thing.
Oh, yeah.
It better be. So yeah. Klay is like, oh, look who I'm playing with. I'm playing for the team that went to the finals last year. That's got Luka and Kyrie to get me open shots. So when Klay start getting going, I get the whole awkward shimmy shake. I got it. But also on the other end, I saw Steph Curry go must-see TV. In that last 5 minutes, last Nasty. 3.5 minutes, 12-0 run, clear out. And Steph Curry, and people won't believe me when I say Steph Curry's a much better basketball player than he was in 2016.
Ooh.
He has a control of the game now and a sense of timing, a sense of the moment. No moment is too big for him now as a mature 36-year-old compared to when everything hit him in 2015 and 16, almost like coming out of nowhere. I'm not saying this is a better version. I'm saying he's a better basketball player. He's not a better athlete. He's not more efficient and all these other things, but he has a greater grasp of the moment and being able to stay in the moment and being able to, oh, okay, we got 4 minutes left. I'm calling this switch. I'm getting this. I know exactly where I'm going because he knows himself better. And I think that is something that when you're talking about LeBron and KD and Steph, what you're seeing is players who know themselves in ways that they didn't when they were at their absolute athletic peak. They're at their mental peak or close to it right now.
Yeah, it's the Mike elbow fadeaway, you know, version of Mike instead of, you know, dropping 60 plus in the garden, right? It's the Mike who, you know, knows and understands angles instead of jumping over you. The crazy thing, you said those three names just now, and sometimes I think about KD and LeBron and how much they have been compared to each other, and, you know, they matched up in the finals, you know, a while ago. Because of those two guys and because of just the actual size of those two men, I think there's, and we marvel at Steph, and it's because of the shooting, it's because of the theatrics, is because of the charm, is because, let's face it, he is a marketer's dream. Mm-hmm. But because of those two guys and KD and LeBron, I don't think we put, this is going to sound wild, I don't think we put the proper respect on how cold Steph is and has been. Like, if you putting respect on Steph, and you love him and you think he's one of the greatest of all time, I think it needs to be tripled and quadrupled in magnitude because of how he came in this thing. All right. He came in this thing out of Davidson. People were like, all right, cool. You know, a little shooter. Got tricks and everything. Mm-hmm. This man not only changed basketball, he's had the full career arc of injured, doubt, extension on the contract. Oh, wait a minute. There's something brewing here. And Mon Shumpert talks about that night at the Garden where Steph was unleashed on the world. And then it became, oh, okay, you're hitting shots. Oh, wait a minute. Did they just win a championship? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. And it's all been on his energy. And then we got to the doubt part of, not the best player on the championship team when KD got there. I know it's Steph's team. Like, we've seen all this in every single, look at that. They won a championship. This, you know, they just happened to be the team at the end. They won this last one. Wait a minute. Hold on. It's been the same dude. He's still been dotting your eye for a decade and a half plus. His game is going to mature in a way that these physical Marvels games are going to, even if the numbers stay the same, the impact has to lessen. That man's impact hasn't lessened because of what he can do and the fear that he can strike in your heart the deadliest. It's the deadliest one play moment in all of sports. 3-point shot now is bigger than a home run. You know, it's bigger than a touchdown pass. Let's keep it funky. You got dudes throwing 30 touchdown passes out here, and you get to that big game. It's like, hey, where you at? Show me the big game that you think Steph going to be in and time out where he ain't going to knock down shots or die trying, right? Like, I think Steph's greatness, no matter how much it's been played, I have a case, and I think we can make a case that has been underplayed because of the environment that he has been in. Like, for all those years, we did the, you know, Kobe, Vince, Kobe, Tracy McGrady. Okay, those two guys, terrific players, not on Kobe level. Steph has kind of held his own with the arguably the top three greatest player of all time in LeBron James at the same. It's kind of like the things that I wish Tim Duncan would have gotten during the Kobe era. We could still do that with Steph. And I hope we do it at the end of his career here. Because if that man can do what he does for another 2 or 3 years, like, I can't wait to see when all three of these guys retire and the reshuffling and the, you know, the deep dives and the stats and impact and all. I can't wait, because I think Steph Curry's career, no matter how great it's been, I think it has a case to be even greater once we get done with it. I think so.
I think we say, I hear it all the time and I get annoyed, right? and it's no shot, but it's just, I don't know whether it's announcers, whether it's people on Twitter or whatever social platform you're on now. It's said whenever LeBron like sneezes, it's appreciate him. And I'm like, true, but you keep telling me to appreciate him. I never stopped. Yeah. With someone like Steph? Yeah. With someone like KD off of an MCL and an Achilles? Absolutely. Yeah. When we come back, though, I'm going to ask Jason Goff about the NBA Cup, and we're going to get into some Bulls and Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks and how all that's going to play. You're listening to The Good Word on Yahoo Sports. Back here on The Good Word, Jason Goff. Jay, I don't know how you feel about the NBA Cup. I was going to say in-season tournament, but it's got a name now and it's sponsored and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to the Emirates.
Yeah. Like,
shout out.
Eric Spoelstra last night. I've never seen a coach this good. Well, it's great. Spo is one of the three best coaches in basketball. It's him, Ty Lue, Steve Kerr, period. Everybody else is fighting behind him. It's those three dudes, in my opinion.
Steve in there. Okay.
Yeah, I think, once again, Steve Kerr, a dude who won championships on the front end, but is a remarkably better coach now on the back end.
Yeah.
Okay?
Gotcha.
He's playing 12 dudes. Yeah. He's playing dudes whose names I thought was NBA 2K names. When I was in the locker room yesterday, I was like, there's a dude named Lindy Waters?
That roster is crazy.
Is Lindy Waters? I thought he was like a guitar player in the 60s or something like that. I wasn't thinking nothing about that.
Shout out to D'Anthony Melton getting up shots out here.
All of them. Right? Hit a big one last night.
Yes, he did.
But Eric Spoelstra, after Tyler Hero went Super Saiyan and in Detroit and helping the Heat get back, the Heat are up two. J.B. Bickerstaff calls a hell of a play, gets Jalen Duren a dunk. It's 1.1 seconds left. The Heat have no timeouts left. And Eric Spoelstra goes full Michigan, North Carolina.
Man, it's one of the worst moments of my childhood.
Who you telling? I cried like a baby that night.
It was a tough night for me. Hey, by the way, they had six men on the floor before that great play was drawn up, too. Like, there's a lead up to how much of a meltdown that was as a staff, a record label, and as a collective.
It's not supposed to happen to Heat culture. Actually, Heat culture would be making fun of you if you had done that, right?
Of course. Like,
let's keep it a buck on that.
Yeah, get Jason Jackson on the line.
This is Jason Jackson, not to be confused with the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Hey, don't get Jax up. We're going to get Jax.
Shout out to the OG.
I love Jax. Oh, my God. He got marshmallows in his mouth.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. I went to Miami for that NABJ. Listen. That's the king. Yeah, we had some fun.
You shouldn't even bring that up, Jason Goff.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You shouldn't even bring that
time.
Up. But do you like the NBA Cup, like the going to Las Vegas, the games on Tuesdays and Fridays, the courts? Is it unnecessary?
So it's not necessary for me, but mm-hmm. I understand what they're obviously trying to do with the younger generation of fan and trying mm-hmm. to get that tournament feel for the old cats who really like it's for the people who say they don't like professional basketball and just need cheerleaders.
I prefer college basketball.
Yeah, that ridiculousness. Yeah. I'd rather go to a talent show than to go see, you know, a sold out arena of my favorite artist. You know, like it's just wild to me. But you know, I won't be surprised if the country swings into the college basketball direction once again.
Because sticking to sports will no longer be an ethos.
Oh, no. It will for some. You know, some will have to stick to sports. Others will
bring sports into the conversation.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
It's not sports bringing politics into the conversation. It'll be politics bringing sports. Exactly.
You already know. I can't wait till Nick Bosa is like the defense secretary or something like that. But Eric Spoelstra, what was the question again? Eric Spoelstra, right?
No, I was talking about the NBA Cup.
The NBA Cup. So last year I grew to like it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, the courts and all that, that's for the kids and it's cool to look at a little bit. You know, it looks decent on HDTV and all these other things. I don't need it, but I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make games important in the middle of the season. What I think the the issue might be is the routines that these guys have settled into in terms of the flow of the season and injuries and rotations and all those things. Like, it's off of the Olympics, I think we've seen a lot of players out here, frankly, looking gassed, looking like they missed some of their routines, looking like they missed some of the prep work getting ready for a season, because it's kind of like the World Baseball Classic when it first started, when everybody was out there throwing 100 miles an hour at the time that their arms shouldn't be doing that. And then next thing you know, hey, I got to get this Tommy John. I don't know what happened. What do you mean? You was getting real outs while Vuvuzelas was going off in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a different atmosphere. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't hate it. Right.
I won't say traditionalist, but we can understand the value of 82 games without having to be like, I won't say panicked. Like, we don't have to be tricked.
Yeah, it's like the music. It's like the music now, where it's like, hey man, if you name me some three letter as his first name rapper and I don't know of him, hey, respect. Respect to you and that young man.
Why would everybody got three letters now?
It's the reinvention of the Lils, man. Remember how everybody was Lil for a little bit?
Now they still Lils.
Yeah, but the real ones supposedly got rid of that. Now it's the YFNs and the RNNs and the BDN. Let me chill because I'm in Chicago. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. Let me be cool.
Rivers and Lakes, man. Rivers and Lakes.
It's cool, but it's for my kid. It's for an 8-year-old who they're trying to snatch and be like, hey, this is the game that you should love. Look how cool this is. Look how great this experience is. Mm-hmm. You want a better NBA, and I know it's never going to happen. Shorten the season, and let's get back to, you know, teams playing again. Like, let's form rivalries again. Like, there's enough.
But
animus.
You can't shorten the season and do that. Like, those are two totally different things. Like, I'm a fan of an unbalanced schedule.
I think if you shorten the season, you're going to get better basketball out of people, though. If the product is a product.
I don't trust the players. Well, no, put it like this. I don't trust the teams.
I was going to say, I think it's on the teams.
I don't trust the teams to look at the schedule and say, oh, it used to be 82, so now it's 72. No, they're going to treat 72 like it's 82 and like, oh, we can catch a break here. We can give you 5 days off. Or whatever the case may be. That's what I think. Here's a suggestion that I had, Jason. When we look at the rash of injuries, Tyrese Maxey was averaging 43 minutes a night. Zion Williamson, who has forever bad hamstrings and quads, and he's going to be dealing with this for the rest of his career, however long it goes. Yeah. Like Ja Morant being slightly built. Right. And Kevin Durant having the injuries that he's had. And Chet Holmgren. Like, Chet Holmgren, that's a weird play. Kevin Durant, bad body. Joel Embiid, bad body. Anthony Davis, weird body. Like, those are things that are just sort of baked in. I don't look at that necessarily as trend. Bad body. Sometimes it's attrition. But the point I was trying to make, Jason, is as opposed to load management, because I don't know if load management works the way that people thinks it does. How about, hey, man, if you play normally 35 minutes a night, as opposed to taking the night off and then shutting your body completely down and then having to rev it back up to play another 38 or 40 minutes 2 nights later, how about you play 25 minutes? If that's, wouldn't that be low management?
Because coaches can't help themselves. Coaches can't help themselves in the fourth quarter when I know I got the dude over there, but he's past his minutes limit. Or it's early in the fourth quarter, and I know this game is winnable in this moment here, but this isn't part of his rotation. And, you know, everybody isn't made for professional sports, right? And I'm talking about the actual bodies of these players, like you mentioned. You know, it goes back. I mean, we're talking about basketball culture things. Like, it goes back to how much basketball these kids are playing, how specified it is now, how professional these kids are at an early age and getting burnt out of it. And, you know, all those things are happening now. I don't know that the Emirates Cup or, like, after the novelty wears off, I'd like to see the sample size of consumption 5-7 years from now, when it's like, okay, it's worn off now. It's not as big a deal to give a two-way player a $500,000 bonus. Like, the numbers are going to go up as these TV deals change, right?
So if there was a time to change the games, it would have been now. It would have been now.
Exactly.
But you can't, here's the thing, you would have changed the games, changed the number of games because the money goes up, but you can't change the number of games because you got this TV inventory that you have to get to Amazon and NBC and ESPN. You got to feed, you have to feed it.
Do you think there's an issue with, like, what do you think the biggest issue is in terms of consumption of the game right now? Because this thing about TV numbers, and I mean, people are consuming basketball and sports in different ways, cord cutting and, you know, watching on illegal streams and doing what they want to do, or just watching highlights, you know, fast, quick cuts of games. I think looking at it through the prism of how do we keep these fans and how do we get these fans, it's two totally different conversations now.
I think that's a loaded question. I think, Jason, it's two things. A, like you said, it's the highlight culture. It's the reality show nature of everything. We just did something a week ago as a country that reflected our need to have a reality show nature to our reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we messing around and finding out that this ain't a game, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. But as far as the NBA is concerned, I don't know if the beauty of the game, so to speak, gets highlighted as much as the drama of the game. And drama and theater, I think, are two different things, right? The theater of the game gets you to say, oh, Klay Thompson's returning. This is important. I'm going to come watch this. Drama of the game is, oh man, somebody's getting traded and all this other type of stuff that's not in any way related to it.
And the other, media and all that.
Yeah. And the other thing, Jason, is if we have everybody telling us, from the coaches, to the players, to the front offices, to the medical staffs, to people on television telling us that the regular season doesn't matter, that the only thing that matters is April, May, and June, then people are going to believe you. People are going to believe that the regular season is not the start of a story that culminates and finishes in the playoffs, that it is a nuisance. People are going to treat it like it is a nuisance. If you don't show, hey, y'all, this is something important because it relates to June. This is something that's important because these athletes are incredible. And this is an event. And so many people are watching. And you should be here to watch this on this night. We don't have that element of storytelling. We don't have that element of anticipation anymore. And maybe that's the whole scarcity thing. Like, Jason, because growing up, I didn't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have NBA on TNT on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I had the local channels, which maybe played 50 games a year. And then you had the cable channel that played the other 30. And then you had the NBA on NBC. So then the NBA on NBC became the event on Saturday, on Sunday, the double headers. And then in the playoffs, the triple headers, the all day joints.
You knew
that
where you
was
gonna
the treat.
Yeah.
That was right, have my ass right in front of the TV. We've lost.
You know, you watched that early 76ers playoff game with Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. You know, you may get C Webb and them boys in the Sacramento game and later
you
on.
You're getting
the
everything. You're getting everything you never get a chance to see. And Jason, can you sell scarcity and exclusivity?
Not anymore.
I think you're trying to balance multiple worlds, and I don't know if you can achieve all these different tempos when they naturally work against each other.
You make sense.
Don't sell rivalries anymore. We don't tell people it's okay to not like each other.
Well, this is the problem that I have. You know, the NBA was the league that had to usher out physicality because you were going to scare off, you know, the suburban families that wanted to watch these things that didn't want to watch, you know, these giant black men running into each other with any kind of animosity. And then you turn around and it's like, wait a minute, UFC took off with a certain generation and a certain background of folks. Why couldn't you poach some of that? Hey, look at what we doing out here. Faces are out there, no helmets on. You know everything everybody's wearing. Hell, y'all know the drama. I mean, you got dudes who sharing baby mamas going up against each other with for the last shot, like
barking at each other about it.
And the thing I talked to a buddy of mine years and years ago about baseball, and he said that the double play had become so routine that you forget the magic in it. Once you like slow it down and you see the actual choreography of it and the skill that it takes, mm-hmm. like it became too easy. Mm-hmm. I think the NBA got to the point because of, you know, the dunk culture and dunks or threes that, you know, splitting a pick and roll, like the subtle intricate beauties of the game don't get highlighted enough. So then you lose a whole generation of fans who appreciate that. And then you start to breed the participants who don't know how to do these things. So now we're in the highly specialized where there's so much uniformity in the game too.
Like it's
the styles make fights. Yeah, the styles make fights argument.
Everybody loves Stephen Curry. You made the great point about Steph. And Steph is almost like another person who I'm sure you will figure out the metaphor when I relate to the metaphor. Sometimes the one person can be so special, it spawns an adverse reaction that creates something that is not good for us.
Of course. Of right? course.
You yeah. get you get exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
because Steph is so special, what he's doing, everybody says, oh, we got to shoot threes. And now we got to shoot deep threes. And as opposed to, hey, man, let's be who we are. Let's be great at who we are and not trying to be play this game of math. Because now basketball is not as much basketball as much as it is a game of math. I don't watch basketball to watch trigonometry. I watch basketball,
Then the issue that I have is, are you having fun with this? And
it's supposed to be fun.
It killed baseball for a lot of people. And let's face it, man, when the nerds enter the party, the fun leaves. Okay. And I keep saying this, and you might say, oh, you know, smart. No, I'm not equating smart to nerd. I'm equating the person or the people who have a formula to get to the end game.
Efficiency quicker. Kills.
Yeah. Like I don't want to watch a team that I know shouldn't be shooting 43s, shoot 43s just because, right? It's part of the reason why quarterbacks get ruined the way they do in the NFL. Certain guys shouldn't drop back 35 times. And if you're telling me that's the only way I'm going to win a Super Bowl, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get fired because you're doing this with this person, right? Just because, yeah, not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. So why are you running an offense trying to mimic that? Like, I don't know. What's next? Like, what's the next exploitable bubble in NBA basketball? But I promise you this, if you take away the corner three and you flex those wings out and make it look like, you know, like a real true arc that has no corner three, I bet you post play comes back.
I bet you
push out that let the 3-point line go out 8-9 inches and we see who can really, really shoot it. Right?
It's at 23.99. If it goes to 24.6,
let's see who can really shoot this thing. Let's see who can really shoot this thing.
Let's see, like I saw last night, Jason. I saw Moses Moody, who by all accounts is a good shooter. He caught the ball in the fourth quarter, I believe, and he was right in that spot, like where he was too far for a layup. He's right at 10, 11 feet. It didn't make any sense to try to drive it in because the lane was like clogged with like Daniel Gafford. And it made no sense him trying to back up because you're at 10 feet. And you know what he did, Jason? He tried a floater, like off of 2 feet, not like with momentum. Like a shot that you would just normally say, you know what? You set your feet, you take a jumper, you call it a day. It wasn't that. He tried to float it. And I'm like, we are lost. Yeah. As a basketball culture, we are lost, and I'm going to make basketball great again. That's what I'm going to do. And when we come back,
I vote for Vinny Goodwill.
You goddamn right. And when we come back, we're going to pay some bills. We're going to be back with the last word. Back here on The Good Word. Before we get to the last word, something just came across both of our desks and attentions. The Lakers, according to ESPN analyst and senior reporter Brian Windhorst, says that the Lakers are only allowing Bronny James to play G League games that are at home. So no Sioux Falls, South Dakota for you. No, none of that. None of the G League experience. Jason, we have lost the plot. We have completely lost the plot.
I kind of feel bad for him.
Absolutely.
I felt bad for him throughout this entire thing because, you know you want to hoop, but at some point you're going to I'm a huge LeBron James fan, but this has felt like Bronny has kind of been like an extra in the making of this documentary, right? And not his story. Right. And if you can, everybody's had the conversations about nepotism and what's good nepotism and what's bad nepotism. When you find out that you don't belong, that's a rude awakening. But to do it on a stage where everybody is watching you.
And you can't quit.
You can't quit. Yeah, this is.
Because this story ain't about you. Yeah, you can't quit because it looks bad for your dad.
This is tough.
Everybody says how great it is for LeBron. Nobody says how great it is for Bronny.
Yeah.
I almost feel like there's a Derrick Rose element to this where it's about so much other stuff than it is about the actual ball player.
So my dad is an engineer. And I remember my freshman year, I took a senior level engineering class, AutoCAD class with 3D blueprints and all that. Mm-hmm. And I got an F in this class. First of all, I wasn't supposed to be in this class as a freshman, right? I'm still trying to find my way to my locker in this big ass school. You know what I mean? It was all bad, right? And I brought it to my dad and he looked at it and he goes, he was disappointed that I wasn't following in those footsteps, but he also understood hey, Jay, that's not your thing. And I look at this and I think to myself, I didn't have people in that class putting a bullseye on my chest and back. I'm going to make sure his blueprints look like trash. I'm going to make sure. Like any gym that Bronny James goes into, whether he belongs there or not, he's a target. And he's not facilitated or equipped with the tools necessary to defend himself. People talk about that G League like it's a bunch of chumps. It's killers in that league that's trying to make a way. They don't have, Savannah and Bryce and Zuri and everybody at the crib waiting for them to embrace them. They 2 months late on rent. You know what I'm saying? They got child support they got to pay. He is going up. People think he'll be in the G League. The G League is full of dudes who are trying
who have
anything.
They
don't like sending stars back to the G League. I remember back when Rondo hurt himself as a Bull, and they're like, "Oh, just send him to G League for what? Send him where? so you can have some dude fouling the shit out of him all game long."
You know what Rondo did as opposed to doing that? Rondo went to one of them. Not even a high school. He went to an elementary school and worked out with the Bobby Portis's and the Cristiano Felicios of the world to get himself back right. Oh baby, we talk. Hey, you are speaking my language. The most chaotic year of Chicago Bulls basketball was the most fun year of Chicago Bulls basketball as a beat writer, baby. That was Curious George.
Shout out to Bobby. Shout out to Mama Said Knock You Out.
That was the next year.
Back to his home country.
When Bobby broke Nico's face with not even a 1-2 punch, bop.
No, just a straight, just come hold this, Kermit style.
Bop. Look, I firmly believe, we saw the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole situation because we could see that. I don't think we could have seen. I don't think our eyes were equipped to see. But if you've never shaken somebody's heavy hands, there's two dudes who have the heaviest hands I've ever shaken in my life, and I will let you know I will never fight them. One is Bobby Portis, the other is Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse patted me on the back so hard, it straightened my back up that day.
Yeah, all right? I don't want no problems with either one of those gentlemen.
Zero. You don't want no problem, big fella? Nah. Since we brought up the Chicago Bulls, it's a funny story about before we go to the Bulls. There's a funny story about, and John's gonna kill me, but oh well,
it's fine.
I wasn't in high school. I just graduated high school. You know, you're hanging out with some like the old heads, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we were playing Madden or we were just at one of my OG's house. God rest his soul. And his younger brother just used to antagonize everybody, just used to talk, right? And this one dude, just out of nowhere, he jumped up and he was like, "Stop school with me. I know killers that eat dog food. Alpo. The room.
That's enough.
Just yeah. like all the air.
Yeah.
All the that's air enough. Yeah. was gone. I was yeah. like, Mark, this dude eats dog food and wants to talk about running around the most dangerous park in Detroit at midnight to prove a point. Shut up.
Yeah, a declaration has been made, you know?
Love him to death. Love him to death. But when someone says, I know killers that eat dog food.
You believe him.
And then he said, Alpo, as if he knew the brand.
As if he had bought it before for him. You know, make a quick run to the store. I see my man is hungry. I know he got shit to do tonight.
We good here. We good here. Say no more, right? Say no more. Shout out to you, buddy. Good thing I don't know your name. Hopefully you'll never find me, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nah. I don't think he's one of those people who's looking to be found. Or shout nope. out, be honest with you.
Nope, nope, nope. But you hear that Chicago Bulls music, nah. You hear that. You hear the Alan Parsons Project, nah. Speaking of teams that are, you know, dog food.
Oh, damn. How you gonna start a conversation like that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's like, hey man, how's your ugly baby doing? Like, how you gonna start like that?
No, look, no. Here's the thing. They got some good things. I do think they have. Believe it or not, I do think they have some good things despite their record. Zach LaVine looks healthy, and he looks efficient, and he looks like he's been given some effort on defense, and he looks like he's trying to fit into this team construct. Right? Lonzo Ball up until this wrist injury. He's missed so much time that we almost forgot about him, right? Josh Giddey, who was persona non grata for the past year for a number of reasons, or say for a number of reasons, one reason, right? Right? He's taken a lot of threes, averaging 7 assists. I've always just liked his game in general just because he's free willing passing the ball around, all this other type of stuff. Like, I'm still waiting on Patrick Williams. I might be waiting forever.
That wait, it's over.
Okay. Kobe White, never thought he'd be this good, right? And yet and still, Jason, they are not a team that you can fear in a trash Eastern Conference. I do think they can find somebody for Zach if they really still want to get off of Zach.
I think the Zach LaVine, Nikola Vooch, because Vooch actually has been their best player.
Yes.
Zach had a right adductor strain, and he's dealing with his shoulder as well. But when on the court, Zach has looked locked in. He's looked efficient. You know, he had a turnover in the last game. It was one of those head scratching joints where he got his pocket picked. But you know, I've been waiting for Zach to have like, and maybe it'll happen after he's no longer a Bull, but him to just be dropped on a really, really good team where he's the third guy. Cause Zach is one of the best catch and shoot players in the league.
And he shoots it so easy.
Yeah, and he's still got the aerial dynamics where he can. He's a great finisher. Not through contact, but he's so slippery that he doesn't get a lot of contact in the pirouettes.
You can't square up. He's almost like a wide receiver that you can't hit across. That you can't hit across them. You can't get a clean shot on
Marvin Harrison. Senior, that is. Marvin Harrison Senior, right?
Are we saying his name?
Hey, okay. Man. Hey, I'm good with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, somebody had to keep the Midwest going. But yeah, no. yeah, Zach is doing his thing. Vooch is doing his thing. Now, if they're on this team past the trade deadline, frankly, I'd be surprised. The issue is they have the top 10 protected pick. So the Bulls have been in this weird good enough to not get the pick that they need, not bad enough to...
Jerry don't want to do it.
Well, this is the problem that they have now. They've got a lot of guards, which has been a problem over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Lonzo piece. The fact that Lonzo was out there is huge.
That's a medical miracle.
Doug, I did not think that Lonzo Ball would be able to handle the travel and the 3 games and 5. Now, he hasn't had to, and I'm worried. I'll be honest with you. I am a little bit worried about this right wrist sprain because, you know, feeling pain in that wrist a week and a half after that injury is still, you know, I'm worried. And that's only because I'm worried about Lonzo because he's fought his ass back to get back to where he is. It's a weird team, Vinny. Like, right now, turnovers are plaguing them. new roles, because like you mentioned, Josh Giddey is a initiator in the offense. He's a exclusive ball handler at times. Kobe White now has to slide over to that too instead of that lead guard situation. Mm-hmm. There's no DeMar DeRozan. And mm-hmm. for a team that was built on for the last few years, stay close, DeMar in the fourth going to bring you home. I think they're trying to figure out who the winning time players are outside of Zach LaVine, mm-hmm. the Patrick Williams thing. You know, at some point, the recalibration of expectation doesn't need to just happen. It just needs to be set. Like, Patrick Williams
You need
never,
to do it. Like
No. I know that it's not no, but how can I say this? You know how we talk about guys who are good defenders mm-hmm. and it's like, it's because they're not scoring a lot? Yeah. I think Patrick Williams has gotten that, hey, he's a really good defender because he doesn't score the way that you think that body should score. But mm-hmm. then on the other end, too, like, I need to see you shut some people down, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he's just such a nice guy, and I think he's bred from a beautiful family that I don't know if that oomph is in him to push him and propel him to be what everybody expects.
That I have to get it done. Here's how you do it. You do it, and this always happens in the professional sports in some way, shape, or form. If you think Patrick Williams is supposed to be your defender and a guy that's dynamic, you know what you do? You bring in a guy that's a defender and is supposed to be dynamic, and that's the message. That's the message. You bring in the player that you think Patrick Williams is supposed to be, and then you move on from him.
Benny, I don't know. Oh, and then you move on from. I was going to say, because I don't know if that would move him while on the team with him. Like, I think Patrick Williams is just one of those cats who it's so hard to watch sometimes because you forget that he's on the court.
You forget, that's the thing. You forget that he's on the floor.
You see how physically his presence, like, we saw him lock up Giannis for a quarter in his rookie year. Where it's like, wait a minute, hold on now, that shouldn't be happening. And then you raise those level of expectations. I think this, you know, this is a tough draft too, to not kind of be all in on the future. Like, there's so many teams in the Eastern Conference that are all in on the future. Some teams that are winning that don't want to win, mm-hmm. right? There's some mm-hmm. teams in the West that are doing that as well. But this isn't just the Cooper Flagg draft, right? Like, you got the what's the AJ?
Dylan Rutgers, what's his name?
You're talking about Dylan Harper? Ace Bailey. Yeah, you got Ace Bailey. You got the Harper boy, Rutgers. Mm. Like, there's some dudes who might be changing some franchises out here.
Cooper Flagg would do real well in Chicago.
Of course he would. Of course he would.
Well, there's not too many places that Cooper Flagg would not do well in for
a different
place
reasons. Is a white superstar to be not going to do well?
Ooh, let's play a game. What game is not built for a white superstar?
Oh.
What city?
Nah, none. You kidding me? I bet you right now Atlanta wishes they had Luka Doncic.
I mean,
there's none. DC, what you gonna tell me? I mean, they cheered for Tom Gugliotta for years. What are we talking about? What are we doing here? LA, Austin Reeves is Captain America out there. Like, Houston? Come on, man. What are we doing?
Houston may be the one.
But listen. Cooper Flagg.
Houston may be the one.
Cooper Flagg go to Houston. There are certain establishments that will be welcome.
Oh, he'll get radicalized.
A superstar. Oh, yeah.
He will get radicalized. Oh, yeah.
If the league could do it to George Mirosan, they could do it to Cooper Flagg. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? If George Mirosan could walk around wearing FUBU and cross colors for the first
remember
few
that
years.
Commercial, that imitation commercial he was in? Won't you smell like me? Remember that?
Exactly. There's no place. First of all, I think this is a larger social conversation. Where can a handsome, rich white man fail in America? The answer is nowhere, Alex, for 200. What are we talking about? Huh? And don't let the Jazz be bad. Like, as bad as they are, let it get worse. If Cooper Flagg goes to Salt Lake City, first of all, he got to save his man Filipowski from whatever he might be going through. But if he goes to Utah and plays for the Utah Jazz, the home of John Stockton and Karl Malone, and yes, I mentioned Karl Malone in that sentence for good reason. If that happens, oh, it's up, because all we need in this league is a phenomenal, phenomenal white antagonist
you know, or protagonist, however way you want to. Like, Luca's an import, right? Luca got that vibe to him that brothers be like, oh, no, he talking shit, but it's in a different language sometimes. That's cool.
You don't know what he's saying. You don't know exactly what he's speaking.
Cooper Flag, straight from Duke, the place where brothers were bred to hate. What? And then he lands in Salt Lake City? Or he lands, like, the problem is he going to probably go to, like, Portland.
Brooklyn is the place that you don't want him to land. That's a way station. It's not New York City. It's Brooklyn.
You're right.
That's the place you don't want him to land. And here's the thing. I say this all the time. The last American-born great white superstar.
Was who?
Larry Bird.
You got to go back to Bird?
American-born white superstar. Steve Nash was born in Canada.
Yeah.
All the other great white wines, like you said, were imported.
I'll never forget a New Year's Eve where I was out and about and the Suns were in town and the Suns were in the spot for New Year's Eve. And I see a sea of beautifully dressed, outstandingly make-upped black women. And I'm like, man. And all I saw was them all looking at Steve Nash, who was sitting in the spot. You know, this is when Sean is from here. So Sean, you know, got people out. You got Stat, got Amari Stoudemire and all them boys out. And I'm like, oh, no. He's got the glow. this before, you know what I mean? This is when it was hockey on ice. Yeah. Great. Damn, is it Bird?
Birdman.
Is it?
Hey, I don't count Chris Mullin.
Yeah.
As an American-born superstar.
Yeah.
He's not a superstar. He's American born, but not a superstar.
Yeah, he's not a superstar. You know, shout out to the revival of white basketball. You know what I mean? Tyler Hero tried to carry it a little bit. You know what I mean? Tyler Hero is they Jesse Jackson. Cooper going to be they Barack. You know what I mean? It's cool. It's cool. I'm going to get in trouble for that, but it's all good. They know where to find me. I'm right here.
And that, ladies and gentlemen.
See you at the United Center. I'm taking on. Hey, it's on this year. You thought 2024 was fun. 2025 about to be up. I'm telling you right now. We get to say whatever we want to say. It's fair rules on every side now, right? Huh? The ideals of this great land. Go ahead and finish your pie before I get you in more trouble.
Hand claps and finger snaps for Jason Goff, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we got for you today. Thanks to Jay for giving us his time. Thanks to producer John, who is scratching his non-existent hair right now. And the entire team that works so hard behind the scenes on this show. If you haven't already, go subscribe to The Good Word with Goodwill wherever you get your podcast and leave us a rating and review. We're up to about 40 reviews on Apple, 30 on Spotify. Let's get those numbers
get up.
We really appreciate you. Don't forget, Jason is also, you know, the full go and also on the newly formed Chicago Sports Network. But I'll be back on Monday with another episode of The Good Word, and we'll maybe try to stay on track, but who knows? Until then, everybody be safe.